You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, Environment Minister David Parker agreed that Auckland Council could have more time to change its planning rules to allow greater intensification. But he instructed the council that they had to reduce the amount of impermeable spaces like concrete driveways and plan for a sponge city. I asked Matthew Bradbury, an associate professor at Unitec and author of the book Water City, what a sponge city is and what it might look like.
Well, a sponge city, the term's actually invented by a landscape architect, a Chinese landscape architect, very famous. A guy called Kong Yu, and he really came up with the idea as a response to the amazing urbanisation of China, all this fantastic urban growth. But the downside was, of course, that they were concreting over vast areas of the city, they were piping streams, they were piping rivers, and the results were a series of floods in China, really from the beginning of 2010s, and so he came up with this idea that actually Chinese cities needed to become more open, more greener, have more absorbent areas, more parks, more wetlands, restoring wetlands to actually soak up that water. So that's where the term comes from. And with the flooding in Auckland on January 27th, a lot of people have picked up on the idea of the sponge city and advocated for its use in Auckland.
So how would a sponge city look different from what is currently planned with the mid-density zoning and then the intensification proposed by the National Policy Statement 2020?
I think we're all agreed that what would be with the terrible flooding and then the loss of life, and they're going to obviously happen again, and probably, unfortunately, they're going to be a lot worse. So I think we're all agreed that we do have to make our city greener and more open and have more of the space to absorb water. So I think that's what Minister Parker is really alluding to, reducing the amount of impervious surface that we have and increasing the amount of pervious surface. And I think we can all kind of agree with that. Simon Upton has also released a report about the importance of making open space cities greener and more open. But the missing link is, how do we actually do that? We really need to reconceptualise our cities as actually a whole series of catchments. What a catchment is, you know, if we're walking in the bush, you know, we're walking up a valley, a stream in the bottom of the valley, you know, it starts to rain, the water kind of comes down, it gets absorbed by the bush, but the runoff goes into the stream. Well, even, you know, when we build a city, we're still actually living in those valleys. It's just that we've cut all the trees down and we have made an impervious surface and we've piped that stream. But, you know, basically that underlying hydrology of the catchment is still there. So if we're going to make our city spongier, to rethink our city as a whole series of catchments, and then once we do that, then we can really get a grip on what is the effect of increasing a green space, or what is the effect of building more buildings within that catchment, and we can actually work out what the impact of the increased green space will be, what the impact of increased impervious space. So that's key. I guess the second point I would make is, you know, a lot of people have said because of the flood, we have to reduce impervious surface, we have to go rethink this idea of intensive housing. I don't think those two things follow. More intense housing can mean more impervious surface, but it can also mean an opportunity for less impervious surface. I know it seems like a sort of strange thing to say, but if we think of the intensive housing perhaps being taller and having a smaller footprint, that means there is actually the potential to actually increase impervious surface in new housing development. So I think the key is not to think more housing or more intensive housing is a bad thing. The key is, where's that intense housing going? So that's why the catchment's important. So we don't want to put the intensive housing in a floodplain or on an overland flow path. And then what form is it going to take? Is it sort of spread all over the site like Vegemite, or is it actually contained in one part of the site and is a taller building? So I think if those two simple things are kind of observed, we can still have more intensive housing and we can start to build a spongier city and a greener city.
Taller buildings potentially, but better planned away from the spongy bits and the overland flood paths, which would presumably mean that there is a bit more green space on sites for playing in and for birds to sing.
Exactly. So, you know, it actually has, in a strange way, you know, more intense urban development has the potential to actually make our city greener. So again, sort of going back to the kind of idea of catchment, if we think of us all, we're all living in a catchment and we're all kind of part of that kind of community, then I think this is also an argument for increased localism. Decisions that people make in that catchment, you know, what are you going to do to that park? What's that big development happening at the top of the catchment? You know, they're going to affect us all. They're going to affect people, especially the people at the bottom of the catchment. where if any flooding happens, they're going to be the ones that affect us. So I think what we can start to see is people starting to build or think about a kind of green network within the catchment. So it's actually linking up a whole lot of little green spaces. Often there's little parks, there's little bits of space left over. You know, we can think about linking those sort of things up.
It sounds really lovely.
It is a great vision. It's a great vision. Each little catchment having a fantastic green, a green network of parks, and then imagine all the catchments joining together. And so you've got this amazing, amazing story of Auckland, you know. And all the catchments, obviously, all these little catchments are all obviously all based on the original streams and wetlands, which, of course, Tangata Whenua, you know, Mana Whenua and Tāmaki know all about, you know. So we're tapping into Mataranga, you know, we're tapping into that kind of knowledge that Māori already have of all those sort of streams. So it's the potential is really fantastic.
And what would it do for water quality?
Absolutely. So it's not going to flood all the time, you know, obviously. So, you know, hopefully we're going to have those floods, but they're not going to be, you know, every day. So in the time where we're having, you know, rainfall, that park network can actually be treating the water. Water can be running into those areas, into new wetlands, into rain gardens, into the sort of spongier network, and actually being detained and treated before it actually goes into the harbour. So we're actually improving the qualities of the Waitamatara and the Manukau as well. That's also the potential of sponge crossed with catchment idea.
The Oakley Creek redevelopment was fantastic as well. It's lovely to have the stream daylighted. And
yes,
it's also a really, really lovely active transport network.
Absolutely. That's the other thing. We're doing this already. We're daylighting streams. We're restoring streams. We've got fantastic community groups all over Auckland who are kind of working on their local awa and, you know, replanting them. So people are already doing this. And we've got the expertise. We've got landscape architects who are doing amazing work all over Tāmaki, restoring our rivers and streams. So the expertise is there, the community groups are there, the knowledge about catchments and how catchments work and you know, how much water goes in and what water comes out. Healthy Waters have the engineering models for all that. So I guess what the flood, in a strange way, brought to us is that actually we have the knowledge. We don't have to start from scratch. All the knowledge is there of how to make our city spongier and how to make this green network. Putting the bits together is the challenge, but the potential's there.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.